Welcome to another version of Presenting Our Presence, or known as POP. POP is a monthly vodcast or podcast of amazing Indigenous humans who work at the University of Alberta. The purpose is to amplify the voices of Indigenous peoples. Today, we're joined by a co-host, Kyle Napier, myself, and our third co-host, Dr. Cindy Gaudette, is teaching, so she's not able to be with us today. We're honored to have our colleague, Victoria Delorme, joining us today, a colleague of ours who works at Augustana. Victoria, please introduce yourself in whatever way is most comfortable for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Florence. Hello, everyone. Tanse, hi. My name is Victoria Delorme. I work at the Augustana campus in Assiniscasa Pieces, or what we know today as Camrose, the city of Camrose at the Augustana campus. So I'm not from Alberta. I'm from the Southern Saskatchewan region out in Treaty 4 territory. And so my family is from the Qu'Appelle Valley there. My mom is from Kansas First Nations, which myself and my family were all members of that community. But I have patrilineal ties to Kakwishtaho First Nations, which is actually just one of the neighboring communities where my dad is from. And so I really like to share that because I myself, as an Indigenous person, I identify as a Nihiawiskwayo, so a Cree woman. But my family is diverse. There's a lot of Indigenous representation, even just in my lineage, in my history. And so on my mom's side, we have Métis, Soto, and Cree roots. And on my dad's side, it's from what we know through I guess the community's history is that they are Nihiawak. And so they actually come from the rabbit skin people of that time. Throughout history, and they were a part of the fur trade and into the expansion of settler communities out into the plains. So they were actually really a key role in pulling and developing what we know as Canada today and in Saskatchewan. So that was really cool. I didn't find that out until later on in my life. So we moved because I was born in Regina, but we had moved from Regina to Edmonton when I was really little. For all I know that I have lived and was raised in Amiskwitches, Wiskaigan, that's the place that I call home. But I always felt disconnected from this place. And my goal in life is to go back to my community. I'm just going to take a really long road to get there. But outside of that, like, I'm a mom. I have a rambunctious, beautiful 4-year-old. And we live in my home is a mixed heritage home. So my partner is a third and fourth generation Ukrainian descent. So they came to this space because of war and famine in their home communities. And they've learned to call the Alberta Plains home, and so we have the privilege of raising my son as a Nihiao Ukrainian person. And so how do I support him and his journey and all that kind of stuff, and so yeah, that's actually, I feel like, the most important parts about me so far.
Well, thank you, Victoria. That's a beautiful story. And tell me, how did you come to join the University of Alberta and Augustana campus specifically? What is the story you tell about that?
I always actually like telling people that I did not go to school at the University of Alberta. I feel like I'm one of the few people that haven't. And it was funny because so all of this actually starts at like my post-secondary education journey and how I came to be a student. The University of Alberta was really intimidating for me as a mature student, as an Indigenous student. And so I ran away from it. I was just like, this was a place that was, you know, too prestigious for me to be in. So I'm just going to go to a little school. So I ended up going to Concordia University in Edmonton. And so it's probably, Concordia is actually now a big school to me because Augustana serves 1,000 students at the most capacity. So we're a very small space, and Concordia at the time only served 3,000. So very, very small numbers, but it helped me kind of come to this space. And I remember when I was in my undergrad, I was like, I wanted to come to Augustana because I got the big fancy degree, U of A degree title on my degree. With the smaller class sizes that I need to be a student to participate in my education. And our campus is beautiful. We have this, I feel like the University of Alberta knows how to like find places close to water. because I know like North Campus, it's right on the Saskatchewan River. And here we actually have a ravine going right through our campus, and it's gorgeous. And so we just have this like this beautiful gem inside Camrose to help students. And so I was just like, I wish I could have gone there. And then I ended up not coming to the University of Alberta as a student. So I graduated from my program with a Bachelor's of Arts in Sociology with a minor in Early Childhood Development. And I was a part of actually the student Indigenous group. And so my role there was to build and facilitate community. And so when I graduated actually right in the midst of the pandemic. So in May 2021, it's like when things were slowly starting to lighten up that I graduated, and I was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm no longer a student, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And just at that time, this job position opened. and so I applied, and then that was it. I ended up getting the job and being here, and it has been a lot in every direction, and that's great.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And thank you for telling us about your educational experience as well. That really helps to frame, I think, the next part of the conversation, Victoria. So what kind of job do you do at the University of Alberta and specifically at Augustana campus?
My big long title is Student Experience Coordinator for the Indigenous Student Services Office here at Augustana. What do? I support students. First and foremost, I try to make them to be the front and center of everything that I do. And so I provide learning supports. I provide information and accessing financial opportunities, you know, the boring stuff of student services. So everything that really helps and supports them through their education. But really what I find my role is actually helping to support students find out who they are, their identity, and how to support them throughout their education that is meaningful to them. Because I know for myself, like when I was going through my education, the first 2 years of my degree, my university, they didn't actually have Indigenous student supports. They didn't really have anybody that had an understanding of Indigenous experiences in education, let alone how to be providing cultural supports and practices throughout their education. And so, I'm an Indigenous student, but on top of that, I'm a student that has diagnosed disabilities. So I have ADHD, an auditory learning disability, anxiety, depression, and other things. And I share that actually quite openly because that's another piece of the conversation that we don't really talk about is, one, we have Indigenous student experiences, but then we actually I only really support the culture. We only really support the access to services, but we don't necessarily support them accessing learning accommodations or how learning accommodations can make a really great role in advocating for student needs or supporting a historical, you know, relevant information to our students in these spaces. And so what really I am is like a navigator for Indigenous students to help find things that makes their education tolerable, make it a little bit easier and less, I guess less daunting. But the other thing that I do too is that I think this is what makes me a little bit different from many of my other colleagues that hold a similar position, is that I'm not Indigenous specific in my role. I just have a very dominant space in the supports that I do for Indigenous students, but I also provide non-Indigenous and international students opportunities to engage with Indigenous knowledge and culture that is mindful about what they're learning, how to learn about this the truth and reconciliation movement, and how to be a real good ally in understanding and hopefully providing them with a safe and comfortable space that's relevant to them as well. So I support all my students here, which is really, really great, but it's it can be a little challenging sometimes because there's so much diversity in these spaces that how do I do this in a way that makes people feel safe, makes people feel heard, and helps them support their identity in whatever that looks like.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, Victoria, and thinking about the diversity of identities that you support, right? What are some of the techniques that you've learned in your journey of supporting the diversity of identities?
I actually reflect on that a lot. Because I know that throughout my personal experiences and throughout my education, like I understand education as a First Nations person that knew of their cultural identity for a majority of my life. I may not have had access to it, but I knew what that was. I know education through the experience of a mature student, and as a student, as a student with disabilities. But those are not enough of information for me to help support everyone. And that's what makes my role and job really tricky. So I always try to like follow the principle of meet your students where you're at. Where are these students at? What do they actually need? What do they want from me? Do they even want to see me? Do they just want to do email? And so I try to be as accessible as I can. I try to be as present as I can. And ultimately, I try to see where I'm not meeting the supports that the students need. And so when I look at the programming that what I'm trying to offer here is that I've looked previously at what my predecessors have done, and I noticed that it's great that it was extremely cultural, because we do need those services and supports available for Indigenous students in these spaces, but not all students are coming into these spaces in culture. Not all of them have a confidence in that shared identity and nationhood. And we are also serving a lot of students that are not from this region. And so some of our practices and our services actually just don't fit within their, heritage and cultural understanding of this space. And so I really try to pull in from many different areas. And I really had to learn for myself that what I thought was right may actually be wrong, and that's okay for it to be wrong. But how am I going to provide a service that really speaks to the students? And so, and at the same time, like not everyone's going to be wanting to wear ribbon skirts and ribbon shirts, and not all of them are going to want to wear beadwork. I know that when I started my education, I had a really hard time reconciling even putting on beaded earrings, because that was like showing everyone who I was. And when I reflect on the demographic of Indigenous students here at Augustana, we have a high majority of Métis student population here. So how are they being represented within the programming that we're providing in this space? And a majority of them are coming from rural communities. They're not coming from urban spaces. So they might not have even known of their heritage and identity up until they came into university at 20, you know, 18, 19, 21 years old. So how do we, one, make it easy for them to like feel comfortable in this space? And so usually what I do is like, general wellness is just really great for all of the population, but ultimately those are intentional practices that we teach within Indigenous communities of like mind, body, spirit, and psychology, like all of that really are just basic principle practices of how we live our lives. And so that's like my forefront. So I do a lot of wellness programmings for the broader Augustana campus here, because that's just the easiest way to introduce culture and teachings. And once I get students that want to learn more, then I'll bring in softer cultural sort of programming. And so I have worked with some programming at First People's House. We did a cook 'em scrunchy making workshop, which was super easy and super great because it got students to like sit down and do something really easy, develop basic skills on how to, you know, sew. And those actually are able to be expanded into, if students want to learn how to make a ribbon skirt, they have the basic knowledge and how to do it now. And so it's like a scaffolded approach to bringing in supports to students and knowing what my students' needs are. So really sitting down and talking with them and getting to know who they are. And I love, had I had no student in my field, I would not be working in this, because I know that feeling of being a student lost in an institution. And it feels really great to feel heard at least once. And so I'm hoping that students can feel that too, even if it's just one. I hope that students feel that way. And I hope that I can keep on building on that for more students to come when they're ready.
So, Victoria, you're talking about heritage and cultural understandings of space, but both from the lenses of land, whether it's Augustana or University of Alberta, but also learner. So where the learners are coming from, and you've spoken to addressing a wide variety of students. You know, whether they are Indigenous and the multi-dynamic identities that come along with being an Indigenous learner, right? You can't just say it's an Indigenous learner. Like you said, there are Métis students, there are First Nations students, there are Inuit students, and then many, many different groups in between, and as well as those who are new Canadians or those who descend from a long line of settlers. And so I'm curious what learning you've come into in supporting such a diverse body of identities that make up the learners at the University of Alberta.
That's a really good question. One of the things, the hardest thing I needed to learn throughout advocating for students was that I don't know anything. I know nothing of what the students need, what they have to offer, and ultimately I don't know their culture and where they're coming from. I really consider myself like a visitor into this space. I may have grown up in this area, but this is not the landscape that my family's from. I remember there was an Indigenous language workshop, I think it was done through Siller, and I can't remember which program it was specifically, but it was talking about Indigenous languages and specifically how they sort of rationalize the way that they use their language in the context of their land and the space that they're from. And so they have words and meanings to all of the spaces that they interact with. And with understanding the words and meanings of that, it doesn't necessarily and always translate to our space. And I think one of the things that was really important for me to see that was like the way that they call common berries in the mountains to the way that we call common berries here into the plains, where common berries over there is actually a different berry for us here, but they have a different context in which they're working off of, which is their land and their environment. And so what's really common over there might not even exist in this space at all. And so I find that really interesting, because when we look at the context of students, what they are used to within their own everyday lives, depending on if it's situated in culture, situated on support, situated on where they're coming from and what their experiences are, that might not actually always translate within the space that we see in education. And so I constantly ask myself, like, how can I support the context in which they're coming from? And where does that all make sense? And I think I really appreciate a lot of my colleagues and a lot of the students, because they help me educate myself into what practices I need to be more aware of in this space. And we had one college, she transferred over to North Campus, but she wasn't from this region. And I remember distinctively, she shared with me, I don't know sometimes as an Indigenous person if I should practice what this community has here for me to practice, or if I should practice what my home community has. And that like really, really stuck with me, because that's a choice that I don't feel like Indigenous students or even our colleagues, Indigenous people, should have to try and reconcile. Should I value my own teachings, or should I value the teachings of the land that I'm on? It's such a precarious place to sit in, because what it comes down to is ultimately identity. How do we support that identity? How do we make them feel like they know that they're comfortable and accepted as who they are from where they're from, but also here? And how do we support that value and acceptance within all of our student bodies in general? So it's like, I have so many questions. And honestly, I feel like that's the only way to really support is to ask questions and to provide spaces for those students to fill them with answers, because I don't know what's right all the time. And I'm human, and sometimes I get stuck in ego, and sometimes I get stuck in these places that I want to champion for myself. But really, I have to check myself, and I have to be like, I have to let the students take their own voices and know that I do not know everything all the time.
That's amazing, Victoria. And this, bringing it back to the students and your responding to the issues that either they bring to you or any anticipated issues. Issues just meaning like things that need to be addressed together. So you brought up even reconnecting to identity, you brought up finances. I'm assuming there's other things that students would need support on, such as possibly citation or navigating online learning. And so I'm curious, I kind of have a bundle of two questions here, which have to do with advice that you would give to learners and really responding to what you know, what you've realized that are themes that incoming students or even, you know, returning students, what they might need to know, what might be helpful for them.
I always encourage students to let university change you in the ways that you you want to see changed. I feel like once I started embracing that change in university, I got to learn a little bit more about myself and what I actually have to offer to communities. And we're always focused on the little things of like, oh, I don't meet the prerequisite for this course, or oh my gosh, I have to take stats again. Like those are hard and difficult, but truth be told, like those teach us how to problem solve for ourselves, how to advocate for ourselves. And ultimately, like university is more than just education. I know they tell a lot of people this. So I grew up the first 25 years of my life as a colonized individual. I knew that I was Indigenous, but that's all I knew of myself. And it wasn't until I went into university that I was able to actually see myself as an Indigenous person and be an Indigenous person. And so a lot of the teachings that I have are actually not from the Cree communities. They come from a diverse areas and spaces. And so once I stopped trying to fit a mold of like, I have to finish in 4 years, I have to, you know, write these papers to these standards, or I have to, you know, meet this stupid deadline, it became really apparent to me that I needed to start advocating for myself, to develop those skills of advocation, because ultimately, like, that is what I'm going to need the most, is how to know what my needs are, how to translate those needs to other people, and how to ultimately learn how to investigate my culture within a space that makes sense. And that's the most important part, I think, out of everything. And I've had so many wonderful elders and knowledge keepers and mentors and support, and they're not all Indigenous and they're not all Cree. They come from such a diverse array of people that I think that's the thing that makes all of this way easier, is that everything's Indigenous. It might not be coming from like an Indigenous source, but the way that we build a relationship with it, the way that we understand ourselves within those spaces, and ultimately how we learn to speak and advocate for that stuff is also important. And it comes down to us, and we're Indigenous, and so this land is Indigenous, and we make up this land to be this alive, vibrant place. And I kind of get really sick of like talking about all the heavy. We need to start talking about all the brilliance that we have in this space, and ultimately our students, like, they need that support, because they don't see us there all the time. I just remember how lost I was. So if I can make one student feel less lost in a place that actually just doesn't just rejects us, it feels a little bit easier to start seeing the bigger image and start seeing the bigger goal of like whatever our dreams are, and celebrating every single student, because it's not easy. It's not easy always being Indigenous, and especially in a space where education is really violent sometimes. And that's why I think that I take my job so seriously, is that I'm not just supporting students, and I'm not just supporting cultural identity, I'm supporting resurgence and rebuilding of our nations, ultimately. And there's a lot of inclusion that we have to pull into those spaces. Yeah.
Wow, don't know where to follow up with that. Victoria, that's so beautiful. And it is true, right? It's how do we fit in? How do we belong? Just love your response to Kyle's wonder. I also wanted to pick up, when we were preparing for this conversation, you said you recently had an opportunity to engage in land-based learning that was really pivotal for who you are as a human being. And I wondered if you could share just a bit about that with us. Thank you.
Yeah, land-based learning was a thing that I thought I was never going to go towards. I thought, like, I got my degree in sociology. I thought I was going to deal with life within a theoretical framework. And I had the opportunity to now engage with the land in a way that makes sense. And I didn't even know it was going to make sense. I used to always think, So my introduction to land-based learning was actually like outdoor education in my undergrads. And I was just like, if this is all it is, I'm not really like down for this. But what I realized within that space was that they were teaching like outdoor education as a flat object. Like they were teaching it in a very colonial way that detached it from actually all of the relations and the understanding and the spirit of what land-based learning is. And so when I came into my position here at Augustana, it was like one of those things I was just kind of sitting openly in this space. My colleagues, they applied for the NSERC Science Promo Grant, and they had, in conjunction with that, worked with the Center for Mathematics, Teaching and Learning. I think that's what it is, CMAST. So I got to connect with Carrie Wood, and we had the opportunity, because she had this beautiful dream of wanting to introduce land-based education with its STEM programming. And so how to do that in a way that is culturally appropriate, that puts Indigenous voices within the front seat of all of it, but ultimately re-engages our teachers that are currently working within the Alberta Teaching Association on how to be more inclusive with land-based practices in an Indigenous cultural context within their classrooms. And so I had I tell my friends I'm way too lucky to start walking into these doors and just having these projects fall into me. Because I'm like, one, like I feel like it should have been given to someone else. But what I'm realizing, you know, through this path and journey that I'm on is that Creator gives us the things that we're supposed to be picking up. And apparently I wasn't listening the first few times, so he just threw it at me. And so I had this ability to work with it, and I just participated as, you know, just someone to sort of view and see how we can bring it in. But when I really got to learn the teachers and what they were translating to us, and this is where, like, I believe kindness is the teaching that I need to know in life, is that we need to be kind when people are learning in every space. Every and all space, non-Indigenous, Indigenous, international, we need to be kind to them, because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to need to learn, and we all are going to need to be safe within those spaces. And we're all going to have to, be confronted with some things that we're uncomfortable with talking about, but those conversations need to happen. And I think land-based learning is actually the place that we can do that, because we're reigniting those ancestral relationships that we've had with this space that have been silenced for a really long time. And like, I remember, I think, I don't know if I really like this analogy, but like, you know, colonial institutions, they have textbooks and papers, but really our textbook is the land. Ultimately it teaches us who we are. It teaches us how we became to be. It teaches us how to be with each other, and what teachings we need to know. And I remember is having this one conversation about how to enact Indigenous law within our lives. And for myself, when I think about that, I think about these teachings that I have in relation to medicine harvesting and sage. And one of the things that I think about a lot is sage is a really important medicine for me, not just because I'm a woman, because it calls to me. And when I came to this space, I actually didn't know that I was going to work here for as long as I have, because it just didn't feel right. And I remember going for a walk on our campus grounds, and I'm just like, Creator, like, I don't know if this is the place that I need to be. I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm just like, I give this to you, this uncertainty. I just want to give it to you. And so I'm walking around campus just like, you know, there's a deer, there's this. And then I just stumble across Augustana's sage field, and it just existed there. And I've never seen a field that bountiful with sage in my life. And I was just like, okay, if there's not a sign any greater than this, I don't know what it is. But I was so ready to go, because I was just like, this wasn't my place. And I for myself had made sure to like support my own decision that this wasn't my space, but greater and Mother Earth. They were just like, no, Victoria, you need to be here. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I guess so. And so like when I think about it, Sage has taught me how to have relationships with people. They've taught me how to be in relation with myself, how to be connected to my spirit as well as to my body. And ultimately, like Sage, when you look where Sage grows, it grows with a diverse ecosystem of plants all around them, with with quack grass, with berries, with saskatoons, with all of these other plants. And they need the support of all of those other plants in order to grow abundantly. If they didn't have them, then they wouldn't really be where they are. And I think that's what I feel like, not saying I'm sage or anything, but I feel that way though, is that had I, you know, not had the supports around me, had I not had the people to be here, and I needed diversity. Diversity needed to be here in order for all of this to happen, because if it didn't, I don't think this would have been my space.
Wow, Victoria, thank you for that, and so powerful, and the diversity in the land as well, right? When, as you were talking about Creator telling you this as you walked out, did that walk, and wow. Powerful messages, powerful words. And I just so appreciated the humility that you have shared with us today, the teachings and the responsibility that you are carrying with you. We are very lucky to have you as a colleague at the University of Alberta. And I'm wondering if there was any final words that you would like to say before we say farewell to our POP audience for this episode.
I constantly try to live my life being very conscious of people around me, and I've always told my colleagues, I'm like, I don't want to be the leader of change. I just want to be a name on the document that says that I support the thing. And I think because I don't know these teachings, I tell everyone else to honor yourself in the spaces that you come into, because if you didn't have what you had, you wouldn't provide the diversity in that conversation that needs to take place. I need to follow that, because my friends hate that I don't see myself as often as I should, or as openly and lovingly as I do for others. And but I know that my role isn't for myself. I have a lot more responsibilities, and I think I really listened to a lot of the teachings that we have. It was one of my professors for when I was at university. I remember she shared with us, she asked us a question, actually. She asked us, what is our knowledge in our culture? Like, who does it belong to? And I'm just like thinking to myself, oh, obviously it belongs to the people. Like, obviously it belongs to us. I didn't raise my hand and say that, though. but I was really sure, like, this belongs to us. And then she responded to us and said, all of this belongs to the future. Like, it doesn't belong to us. We have a responsibility for the next generation to have access to this. And it will continue to be that way so that it can exist. And I'm just like, well, that makes so much sense. So everything that we have today doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the future. And so how do we make sure that it exists for when they're coming here? So I'm always thinking about the next generation that comes into this space. And so I'm hoping that I'll be here long enough to start seeing the next generation of students that, you know, had kids and got to kind of go forward in whatever journey that they had. And I think that's important. So to the future.
Thank you, Victoria. And really, your teachings today are really going to help me walk in a different way as I journey on the path that is unfolding in my life and that Creator is pushing me towards. So, Victoria, so grateful for you and for your contributions to POP and the University of Alberta.
What do I want you to know?